Guys, Adam Ray here. And look, we all have those nights where your brain just won't shut up. You're lying there in bed thinking about that awkward thing you said to your gym teacher in 2012, or maybe that thing that your mom's best friend said to you and you didn't know how to respond, or if your dog knows that you love him as much as you say you do. I've been there. And recently, I found something that's actually been helping me chill out. CBDFX. They've been around since 2014. They're one of the OGs of the CBD world, and everything they make is clean, organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no sketchy chemicals, just pure good vibes. I've been really digging their CBD plus CBN calming tincture. I take it before bed, and I swear it's like hitting the off switch for all that late night brain noise. I've also tried their mixed berry gummies, which taste incredible. It's not like medicine. It's more like something you actually want to eat, you know, and you just feel more balanced, more chill and laid back, maxing all cool shooting some b-ball outside of the school. Whether you want calm focus, better sleep, or just overall wellness in your life, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my ALN listeners get 40% off your first order with promo code AboutLastNight at CBDFX.com. That's CBDFX.com with promo code AboutLastNight to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds that you won't find anywhere else. Don't wait. The most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast. And now is the perfect time to cross your names off your list. I found this hot sauce making kit, on their site. And it comes with everything you need to make your own sauces. I bought it from my buddy Brad, who put sauce on literally everything from eggs to pasta to his wife, including cereal once. He made it. It's unique, hilarious, and actually awesome. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you honestly won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're not only supporting artists and small independent businesses, but many of these products are made in small batches. So look, you don't want to wait, because once they're gone, that is it. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross the names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/about. That's uncommongoods.com/about for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
It massage chair definitely is in the in your realm of, like, as a kid.
Blank check. It's Richie Rich.
Yeah.
When my
that was our all that gauge shit for what wealth looks like.
I walked into a Brookstone a couple years ago and I go, why haven't I done this yet? Why haven't I bought one yet? I have that money. I have $3,000 to spare. I don't know what that one ran you.
Yeah, about.
But if you want to, I mean, the best ones on the at Brookstone are like $7,000. It is too much to spend on a chair. But like when you get to a certain point where you're making
those ones play with your butt. Like those ones do a little something.
I love it. Are you kidding me?
They have a nice
God, we're already getting into that, guys. Okay. Last time it took about 40 minutes.
It did. And
now you just go right for it. Now, like,
our listeners were very disappointed. They're like, we like butt stuff with Nikki way sooner in a podcast.
Oh, new God. Show.
Butt
new
stuff
show.
With Nikki.
New show. That's every show I do.
No, we have we have a butt play shot clock where we're like, all right, we got 24 God. Seconds. No, but I do want to say Blank Check and Richie Rich.
Yeah.
I don't think we're too crazy either. They weren't too, like, extravagant in their, like, this is what a kid would do. Like, water slide.
Big.
Yeah.
Big, yeah.
You know, just the things
what
you
bought. What was his big purchase?
A bunk bed. A bunk bed.
Papa shot.
Papa shot.
Wait, a hoop in his house.
Yeah.
That's totally like, yeah,
just
you could do that.
Hoop. And didn't he have some kind of like thing he was punching a lot at one point? He probably had that The piano that he jumped around on.
Sure.
That
was a lot of
probably
fun.
Probably put that in his apartment.
I feel like now that we've all worked as hard as we've got that, yeah, as hard we, as we've done, yeah. like we should watch those movies as a reference point.
I agree.
Like be like, oh, this is what I should
well,
be doing.
I'm still upset that the Clueless Closet doesn't exist, where you plug in an outfit and it goes ding, 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 oh. and then it comes up and then you grab it and it makes an outfit for you. Would save me so much time.
It would.
Why doesn't that exist? That's a thing. That's like a future thing that could exist.
Yeah. It's like we have that technology.
Like that's not flying car crazy. That's
right.
like texting crazy. Like, you know, they kind of, I remember being in high school, like I wish I could send a note
yeah.
with like my calculator. I don't know what I was thinking.
And not have to go through the anxiety of walking by the person and like handing it off drug deal style.
Dude,
yeah.
I just got all of these notes that I had written. My friend was sending me pictures of all these notes that she had from me. She has all my writing. I have all of hers. I was not nice. Oh boy, I was a mean girl.
Were you just
only
like taking
in writing?
People out?
I did not bully people in
okay.
person.
You were roasting.
If someone would have found this, I was using full names. Like I don't
Can
know
you imagine
who I thought I was.
They're finding old tweets from Kevin Hart to ruin jobs. Can you imagine that? Like we found eighth grade notes from Nikki Glaser.
Oh,
it would. Well, it's like I think about that and I go, oh, I talk so much shit with my friends via text and by full name. You know, like people would know who I was talking about if they found my phone, but you just trust the cloud or whatever. But if I could have dropped a note,
that's his real name.
Yeah, you sound like a cult member right now. Trust the cloud.
Yeah, but what you shouldn't trust is the floor. If you drop a note, then it's the whole school sees it. What was I thinking?
I mean,
anyone could have gotten that note.
And that was like every sitcom.
I was thinking about that note. I was like, that was one note I saw. I must have talked so much trash. I mean, it was like a burn book, Mean Girls burn book.
Right.
Mean things about girls' looks, and it's all my own insecurity. I was talking about people's acne because I hated my own acne. I was talking about people being fat because I hated that I was fat. Like, and it's all projection.
And you had the warning signs because, like, every show back in the day had that one thing where, like, the teacher catches them and goes, read it in front of the entire class, and then every student has to go up there. That was every sitcom had that episode.
I know, and I was just walking a tightrope of having to do. Someone would have read those notes, because I was like really nice in high school. Everyone thought like I was.
Apparently, you weren't.
But behind the scenes, I would have been devastated had someone read that. But I was shocked. You know, when you look back and you go, maybe I wasn't who I thought I was.
Yeah, because you have these like romantic versions of yourself in high school.
Especially in high school.
I was the good kid.
You know who everyone is?
Yeah.
Who? Everyone is. I went from table to table. I was in this group. Yeah. I floated around.
Yeah.
I kind of dipped my toe in all the groups.
Oh, God. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You had one group.
No, yeah. you sat at one table and you looked at the other ones in awe
judged.
You went over
to those tables to go, guys, look, I'm going to go act like I'm friends with her.
Hilarious.
Watch me.
And that was a big deal at lunch. And it was like, oh, my God. And you talked about it all the next lunch.
I wasn't that girl, but that is so what people did. Often to my table, too. Like,
Were you at the pool table?
I was one of those. I have to say, I am one of those people.
Yeah.
I had my own table for sure, but I was like, you know, drama nerd kind of friends with all those guys, the guys that offer you massages that you don't want touching you, those kind of.
That was my move.
So you.
Oh my God. Well, no, I would start massage
trains.
You were
such a theater geek, weren't you?
I absolutely was.
No. Let me just comment, as was I, and the massage thing was a very, I feel like that's an extra, like you probably had an extra line you could throw in there and be like, a dwarf massage is better than a tall guy massage.
Yeah, tinier hands, I can get in those knots.
Oh my God, that's so true. You could walk on girls.
Yeah.
That would feel great.
I could do like, don't worry, hold on.
Ashiatsu from Brad Williams.
Now let me ask you this, would you ask?
Oh wait, good pull with the ashiatsu massage.
Yeah,
because that is accurate.
That is.
It is?
Well done. I knew massage aficionados would be like, wow, Glazer just pulled out ashiatsu.
That's not a Subway sandwich. The Asiago. All right.
Toasted.
I'm doing all Subway material
toasted.
From here on out. The toasted ashiatsu. Wait, would you offer it up or ask them, or would you do the real true creepy drama guy move of where you just show up and all of a sudden hands?
Oh.
I remember this one kid.
I will not say his name.
Larry Leggett, but he was he had strong hands because he would do them to guys too, and he would literally, you'd be standing in the wings waiting to go on, and all of a sudden you just feel hands on your shoulders.
No. Oh.
And sometimes it'd be like quick, like, all right, you know, like that, come on, go get them, rub down. And then other times it was just like they'd slide in over your, like, are these clavicles, right? Is that what these are?
I mean, that's what you'd be asking.
And you're like, dude, is he about to undress me before my scene?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I can't believe we all had that guy. And then he would go.
Nobody called him out.
You feel tense. Oh, you think? think?
Because a strange guy. Yeah.
There's a separate me-too-ment. Right
me-too-ment.
Me-too-ment.
Why didn't we just shorten it? We would have gotten so much more done.
Yeah. Me-too-ment's going on.
But for the guys who give inappropriate rubdowns, by the way, there that even happens. There are comedians that do that as a way of showing like affection and like, you know, like when you're first starting out and you want to be chummy with people that like are when you're just trying to get familiar and comfortable at the clubs and you're like chumming it up with people maybe that you're not familiar with or that don't really know who you are. But you try to like and you're like, oh, maybe this is my way of always being like we're buds now and like up in the bud, up in the bud meter, you know, by doing a little rub down. And you're like, dude, I don't even know your favorite color. And you're touching me like that.
Adam and I are best friends. I've never given him a rub down.
Okay, well, that says something.
That's okay, though. That's I gave Sandy Danto a rub down in the green room because he was so tense.
I did that to some girl last night.
I'll give you a rub down.
There was some girl. Where was I last night? I was at some club, and I kept touching this. No, I wasn't at a club. I don't know who I was touching last night, but it was some waitress or something, and I just wanted her to like me so much that I kept being like, hun, and then I'm like, this girl doesn't like me touching her. No. What am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm not touching the lower arm of a girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And suddenly I was doing it. And I was like, I want something from her that I can't. It was bizarre.
Move.
Yes.
And men and women both do it. Ugh. To both men and women.
Oh, and there are certain guys that you know as a woman that are going to kiss you on your cheek. There are certain guys that you know are going to hug a little too long. That it's just like you brace for impact there. You just know.
The kiss on the cheek. Will you speak to that? Because I.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when I think I was
doing it too much.
And then I look back and I was like, I can't remember if it was a friend that called me out or maybe there's a girl that kind of pulled away that again, I was like, oh, I think we're chummy enough to do this. But then, and I wasn't thinking in terms of like sexual or anything. It was just like, oh,
yeah,
it was the way the,
well, you see the awards show doing it. Like every person that accepts an Oscar is always
And you
like,
know how you live your life based on what you see at the Oscars? What are you talking
That's what I do. You don't do that?
No, when Don Cheadle and Susan Sarandon nuzzle up.
I do a 20-minute musical montage monologue every week.
Every single day you end with a slow-motion slideshow of those that you've lost.
Yes. Shout out to you, Gramps.
No, I think I'm like realizing something that I think the kiss on the cheek is happening less since Me Too. I think every guy that used to just pull that, it never bothered me. Sometimes it would because you don't know which one to go for,
and you don't want to do that move where you're going for the opposite ones, which means you line up.
Don't want to touch, have someone's wet lips on you.
Oh God,
yeah. It's not great.
It's not.
No, it's not. Great.
Even cheek to cheek is
a
lot
like
to ask.
It's annoying. It's annoying to have lips on your cheek. It's just like you don't want it, but now that I think about it, it happens less.
What about hugs? What's your take on hugs?
Hugs are also a thing. There's some people like, there's one person right now, he's like right here that I don't want to hug and he always hugs and I hate hugging him and it's harder to just not hug.
Because of the smell or because of the embrace?
Because I don't like him.
Yeah.
Mm. And he knows it. And it's the same thing as arm girl, you know, just trying to get me to, I want her to like me.
Yeah.
And so this guy always goes for a hug just because I think he knows that I'm repulsed by him and I don't like seeing him and I try to avoid him. And there's certain guys like that and it feels like a power move. And it's also the same reason I'm like easing away from meet and greets after my show, unless they're like a VIP paid for thing.
Unless not you pay a lot of money.
I don't even want the money. I want to donate it. Like I don't, it's just a way to weed people out who don't want a picture because actually you take 1,000 pictures after shows over a weekend of shows and 3 people post them. I'm sorry. You didn't want the picture. If you don't post it right away, you don't want it. What are you going to do?
Right?
What you're doing then is waiting for me to die. So then you can post it and be like, I met her once.
We were best friends. She told me to follow my dreams.
Honestly, I've been taking pictures with comedians recently and being like, oh, remember you have this when they die. I'm not even joking you because 2 comedians have died recently and you just see, oh, that person got a good picture with them. They get to post that one. I'm not saying that is why I like I don't like when anyone dies or that there's a silver lining to it because you get to post. But people love posting pictures with dead people, having a connection to a dead person.
It's amazing,
anything. So that is pretty much why I'm taking those pictures after shows, I realize, which isn't a terrible reason.
So what we're trying to say is if you have a cough, come see Nikki Glaser's show.
That's not what's going to take me out. Are you kidding me? A cough? I don't get sick.
No, I'm saying because they're going to die.
Well, I'm not going to post a picture with a rando that died from a cough. I'm sorry that you...
Yeah, she got a little more integrity than that,
but
right.
Yeah, but I don't do those meet and greets anymore because I was in Tacoma and I just had like, I did two shows of meet and greets and I was like, oh, these went well. People had good boundaries. And then one show where three dudes... I think it was two or three. It was like two and a half weird touches.
So two guys and a
midget. Just a grab that's a little bit, what'd you say?
So I said two guys and a midget, two and a half.
Yeah, exactly. I count you as a half person.
Yeah, we're handsy.
Yeah, and.
Why were they too
It wasn't even
invasive.
Something, but it was just, it was a power move. It was just like, I know that you think that you just had something special going on, but I could snap you like that. Like, it's just a, it's an aggressive.
Yeah. There's dudes like that, huh?
Just an energy you get where they're like, I know that you're uncomfortable by this because how could you, like, again, like I tense up and I'm just like, take the picture. Those people always, their phones don't work either. So the guy has to go up and go, how do you work this? And as he's holding me. And what it boils down to is it's more annoying to call it out and then have the guy get defensive. Yeah. Maybe his girlfriend is there. That's embarrassing for her. It's easier just to.
Yeah, just fake it. It sucks, but it's true. Yeah.
And then just kind of stare at the floor.
And wonder.
Nice to meet the next question.
Every decision you've ever made in your life to get to that point.
Yes. And I will seriously, like, that one, my friend Andrew Collin, who opens for me on the road, he kind of stands to the side to watch for that kind of behavior. But the thing is, no one can ever catch it, even if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
Because it's as subtle as a hand it's doing just this.
It's a little grip. And what that is, the dude is some guy just saw you dominate on stage, be the most powerful person in the room, and he feels threatened by that.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I gotta make sure she knows I'm still a white dude, and you know,
and
that counts for something.
They do it to you guys too, I'm sure. Guys can't take that you've just made their girlfriend laugh. Are you
harder
kidding me?
Than they'll
so,
ever have.
I go out of my way to chum up
so
the dudes because
you.
I see in their eyes, not all the time, because there's a handful of guys
that are very insecure.
Just like, fucking good stuff, man. Like, she needed that tonight. Yeah. And you're like, oh, cool, man.
Yes.
And then there's those guys that are just like, size you up, or they won't even, they'll hover in the background.
Yeah.
And so the girl's like, not like super gushing, but sometimes that does happen when the girl is almost, I'm like, oh, you're trying to piss him off because something happened, or maybe this is who she is. And and she's like, I'm going to go up to him. I thought he was great. And I'm going to like get in his face and like touch him and stuff.
Oh,
and the guy's just in the background.
She's trying to make him jealous because she's mad at him about something that happened days before. This is her chance.
I look right past him and I'm like, what's up, Chance? And he's like, Brad. I'm like, same thing. What's up, man? Like, what are you? What's the show? Did you have a good time? And he's like, yeah, it was all right. You know. And
I don't try to get him.
Oh, really?
No,
I need to stop.
If someone doesn't like me, I'm just like, I don't want to make eye contact with them. I bet this happens to you when a girl is psyched to meet you, and she's like, get in the picture, and he's like, no, it's fine, it's yours.
Yes.
And you're like, don't make him get in. Right. He doesn't want
to. He doesn't want to be in there.
Oh, part of this.
God.
Yeah, and the guy's just standing back, like watching me take a picture with this girl. That, like, I've had sex with a man's wife in front of him, and that was less awkward than that.
So funny. Well, that is so. So you've been a what's a
swing? A swinger?
No, but if he's a cuck, what are you? If you're banging his wife,
I'm a alt-right. No.
What is it? What is no, if there's a cuck?
The
there's got to be a term.
Yeah,
I mean, there's terms for
Dom?
Everything.
Dom? I don't know.
Prop.
No, there's got to be something in the cuck world where if you're the guy that's banging the wife and you're in the cuck is in the corner. Was he in the corner like kind of was he enjoying it, or was he kind of?
I've had two different ones. One where the guy was having fun with himself, and the other where the guy was just kind of watching very calmly, like, cool.
Oh wow,
that's happening. Yeah.
But in both cases, the guy that was calmly watching was storing it in this.
Oh, it was going in the spank bank.
Spank
for sure.
Bank, yes.
Oh,
or
sure
they
not.
Were going to talk about it later. I mean, that's all the things.
I'm sure that.
Yeah,
I'm
swingers, how does that work?
I'm into it. I get it completely.
For real. Oh, you're
I
on board.
It.
That's going to be a part of your life.
Definitely.
Well, because we've had conversations about you being okay with your boyfriend.
Yeah, mine's
having
different.
Having sex with other women and then telling you about it.
Yeah, but I don't want to be in the room. I don't want to. I could be in the room. I don't really want. I feel like if I'm in the room, I'm gonna have to eat some pussy. And sometimes I'm like, I don't really. I'm not in the mood.
Maybe I want
to
sit here and like look on Zillow and see what's
totally. If I could, and in a closet situation feels creepy, so I'd rather it happen and then he tell me about it later. I have no involvement in it. She's not. She doesn't have. She's not doing it for me. It's she's super into him. That makes like it's not about the group thing. It's about that. Yeah, and I like to hear about it.
Interesting. And vice versa. So, and then you would want him to have those same rules for you?
No, it's not. It's not a two-way street. I think that that's what a lot of people go, well, you're letting him bang people and you can't. And I'm like, first of all, I don't, if I'm in a relationship where I'm feeling loved enough, I don't want to bang anyone else. Mm-hmm. But guys, I feel like I I'm not letting him bang other people because I'm like, I'm not enough woman. It's because I like it. If yeah. I weren't getting something out of it, it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going like, I guess you can, babe. I'll sit here and knit and wait for you to get home. Like, I don't know how to knit, and also I don't care.
I love that. I love that that's your lead. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm not into cuckold because I can't knit.
Yeah. But people seem to, and I, it's a ridiculous thing because there's so few women like me that are into this specific thing, and I feel ridiculous talking about it because guys are always like, you're a dream girl. And it's like, you would think that, and I never want to sound like a girl that's like, I'm just cool with anything. I'm the best girlfriend ever. Because it's not, I will say that I've been in relationships or been in these circumstances where, first of all, the guys don't trust it. They go, this is a test.
Yeah, it's a trick.
It's a trap, right?
Yeah.
And then secondly,
definitely
there are times.
Admiral Ackbar's in our head.
Where banging, like if you, if I've been in relationships with people that don't drink, aren't going to bars, they're not on the road meeting women. There's not, they have to like try to meet women. And it's,
and
they're like, that's
effort.
Why I'm with you. I don't want to be on the single again.
I don't want to be doing this.
Yes. So
exactly.
It's not all it's cracked up to be, but it is, I think it's also a way to make a relationship last.
Yeah.
I think, but also I've, you know, my track record isn't great. Actually, it's pretty good.
You're friends with your exes and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that's healthy that people should do that?
Well, my main ex, I'm only friends with, I still currently bang my ex and hang out with my ex when I'm in town. So like we both live in different cities. So when I'm here, that's what's happening, unless
we're
dating someone else, and it's so great and it's such a good, and we're really good friends.
Does it get easier
friends?
The more that time goes by, or is there ever one of those, like, what's the movie where people, Friends with Benefits or whatever?
Oh yeah,
like does it start to, like, on one of the times where you're like, oh man, there was a little too much like connection on that.
Yeah,
band.
We fall right back into being boyfriend and girlfriend, like,
you do,
immediately.
Sure. But then you can get right out of it,
and then we can snap right back out.
That's
and
amazing.
It's, and it's good, but there are. I think it's just we've been off and on for 6 years, mostly on the past 2 years, all completely off.
Yeah.
But like just with spurts of like, are we getting back together? And I think it's just, it will happen if it happens, but it's like so healthy right now.
Yeah.
And I don't, a lot of my friends are like, it's holding you back from meeting the person you're meant to be with because you're still sleeping with someone else.
Or it's preventing you from going into a bunch of tumultuous, hazardous relationships.
I've done that too in the meantime.
She's like, oh no, I've done
that's
that.
The thing. Yeah. Like I think that he's my most healthy thing. And then the people I have crushed on this year have been so hazardous. Like I'm like,
oh, no.
Glazer, what are you doing? You know when you pick someone and you're like, what? Clearly you're going through something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
This isn't a decision
absolutely.
A 34-year-old woman who has her wits about her or wants to get married makes. Like if you really want a lasting connection, why are you falling for these guys? And it's because I don't.
Yeah, I had a Whoopi Goldberg phase, and I was I'm joking. But I think
he watched Eddie four times a day.
Don't you fucking make jokes about that movie.
I don't know that movie.
It's a great. She wins a contest to coach the Knicks. Anyway.
Oh my god.
Insert hilarity.
Back
insert
when
Whoopi.
That, back when that could be movies.
That was the pitch, by the way. So somebody wins a contest to coach the Knicks. Well, who's playing? Have you seen Sister Act 2?
I mean,
and they go, well, what about the first one? No, the second one was better. We all know that. Who's on some of that list that have to give names,
all,
but like, what are the characteristics?
People that that have millions of followers. I'll say that.
Good for you.
Yeah, so they're extreme narcissists.
Mm-hmm. Why are you chasing that?
Because I think that I know that it can't be a thing. Like, I don't have time to have something real. So I'd like to choose someone who is going to like me for a fleeting second because they want something I have, or they look at me as like the up and coming girl or whatever it is. And then they find out I'm like a real person, and then they get distracted by the next up and coming girl,
and then they panic. And then they move on. So then they can't really hurt you because it's the thing.
No, they really hurt me for
really?
A couple weeks. I'll be really angry. But then I look back like, I'm out of one for about, I think it was over a month at this point, and it's preposterous to me that I liked the person that I was into. You know what I mean? Where you go, I wasn't clear-headed at all. I look back and I'm like, what are you thinking? All you have to do is mute them, both their story and their posts, and you forget they exist.
They're
Instagram
gone.
Is a constant reminder of the right. people who have hurt you, and it keeps your anger going, and it yes. keeps you thinking about them. And if you, it's such a simple thing to do, and it actually works okay. to not yeah. see them on your feed.
To just delete someone from social media
yeah.
out of your life. It's like, why would you keep reminding yourself every few days that when they post and they're doing something fun where you're like, motherfucker. Like,
and it really, you reach a point, and hopefully every woman and every man reaches this point where someone treats you crappily enough that you're like, I'm awesome and this is BS. And if I yeah. actually like myself, which I think I do, I hope I do, yeah. I wouldn't put up with this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let my daughter date someone. I wouldn't let my friend date someone like this. Why am I letting myself date right. someone like this?
Yeah.
But we put up with so much more than we would even, we would advise our like least favorite friend to put yeah. up with.
Absolutely.
We really do.
It's so funny that you talk about the stresses of social media, because you make an appearance on an amazing show that's currently on Netflix called The Fix.
Yeah, you're so good on it.
Oh my God.
And crushed it.
That was,
and
you know when you do a show and you go, yes, no one's gonna see this.
Everyone sees it. And
everyone
the
thought.
Social media episode
yeah.
when you get caught on your phone.
Yeah, that was that. That was one of the ones. Yeah.
Was just that. That was insane. You're doing a show about how
being addicted to your phone, and yeah. I had it in my lap because you stop down during a production yeah. and everyone's getting notes, and I'm literally have no one to talk to. It's, if I was to be engaged at all or had to go, I don't have notes. It's a free for all. So I'm on my phone, and I was texting with a guy that I had. He had like slow faded on me,
mm-hmm.
And it was at the point where he was trying to hang out again. And I go, what did whatever was just you got interested in fail and now you're back with me? No, we're not. This isn't happening again. I took them. I wasn't when he slow faded. When I get slow faded on or ghosted, I'm not like, what's going on? I'm just like, got it. Bye bye. You know, cool. But when they come back around and want to hang out, because sometimes they pick it back up and they sure. because they were out of town or they were busy
right.
and they act like nothing happened. I just go, no, we're not friends. We're not anything anymore. We're done, because you disrespected me so hard to go
good
to slow fade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you in seventh grade? Like that is a.
And maybe he is. You know, maybe that's why.
They're yeah. Arrested Development. That is my problem. I keep going for guys in middle school.
Just
I gotta
now
at least go
that
for
out.
High school.
At
what
least
am I
high
doing?
School.
I do want.
That's the problem.
I want to put a pin in the Fix, but I do want to ask real quick. What do you think about the whole teachers? I feel like this past year I have seen, maybe I have some sort of Google alert set for teachers.
Hey,
and
whatever
students.
You're into, Adam.
Dude, I had a few
it's
crushes.
It's the hottest thing ever, by the way.
Fuck yeah, there's yeah. a few teachers I still think about that I'm like, I mean, like they're, you know, probably older and married now, but I remember in third grade it was my first real crush
third
on a teacher.
Grade.
What was her name?
Ready?
I can't yeah. wait.
Miss Robish.
Robish.
Guess
that's a
what?
Sexual name.
Yeah, it is. I'm just and like, I want you to Robish everywhere you want.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah.
And that's probably
why
I got expelled, because I said that to her. No, but I literally go, I go, Miss Robish. I invited her. Like, I'm this little, just, you know, chub kid in the fourth grade, and I had such
fourth
a big
grade.
Crush, and I would always do things to try to make her laugh. And like, I remember one time she was playing a Martin Luther King on MLK Day. They were playing a speech, and I was like. Like, I had memorized the whole speech, so I could always do this thing where I would, like, lip-sync to make friends laugh when they would play certain videos yeah. or whatever. And I memorized the speech just to try to lip-sync to it to make him laugh, and she caught me doing it. She's like, that's so inappropriate and disrespectful. She's like, but
Miss
it was
Robish.
She goes, but it was kind of funny. Just, this is not the time for it. And I was
got
like,
it.
Oh, fuck yeah. And then I go, I'm going to ask her to my baseball game, right? I'm going to invite her to my baseball game. I don't think I confronted my mom about this. I'm just like, I'm just going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And so I, Miss Robish, would you you want to come to my baseball game? And she's like, I would love to. I'd be honored. And I'm like, here we go. You know. And then guess what? She shows up.
She showed up
with a dude.
With a dude.
And I was
son
like,
of a bitch.
I don't remember there being a plus one for this
right.
invite. And
what,
she's
was
like,
he in fifth grade? How dare she?
So funny. And that
upperclassman.
By the way, that
this guy's
rushed me.
This guy's really good at dodgeball, and I brought him out.
I know he was a grown man.
That's so
and I remember
funny.
Shaking his hand and being so tall, and just being
oh
like,
"Oh my god!"
She's like, "Yeah." And she's like, "He also loves baseball," and I'm just like.
You
and
were the
fucking up fat kid's dreams, you
oh
piece of shit.
Oh my god, you were a fat kid?
Oh yeah. I was so bummed.
Yeah.
But man. So what is your take on like teachers and kids like mixing it up?
Okay. How do I tiptoe around this? First of all, I think it is not that joke we all make about like, oh, he did you hear that kid that had sex with his teacher died? He died from high-fiving. That was, I think, a Zach Galifianakis joke.
Still a good joke.
Amazing joke. So the thing is, there's that joke of like, he's the man, but I think these women are, can be predators.
Yeah.
And if you look are oftentimes predators just as much as a man. If you switched the scenario, everyone would be like, that's disgusting. So, and I think that it can leave behind a lot of trauma for these young boys because they do get infatuated. They don't, sex is really powerful and they start having sex with a 30-year-old woman when they're 16. It's, they fall in love. And then I think these women are stupid. I get it because I was once a girl who never got attention from boys in high school.
Is that what it is?
And then you're teaching, and all of a sudden, I was a teacher at a prep school when I was 23.
Wow.
I taught freshmen, and there were 16-year-olds in there who were throwing it down hard on me. And it was, I will say, it was
flattering.
Like, it was so flattering. Yeah. And it made me kind of like blush and like I understood that other side. There was never a part of me that was like, ooh, is something going to happen? Not even for a second, obviously. But it is, it feels good to get attention from the popular boys.
Sure. That, and hey, you're 23, they're 16. If you're 34 and they're 28, it's fine.
Exactly.
So it's like, it's not too far off.
It's not crazy off.
What was it, 23, 16?
No, but I'm saying if you're a 23-year-old person and then you're working in a high school and there are 17, 18-year-old boys, I mean, that's, it can get, you can convince yourself that's not that bad. And then it's,
and then it is
stash, you know.
The but age range matters less later in life.
It's
like
just
23, 16 is toeing the line. But look, like, fucking 9 and 2, there's gonna be some issues.
There might, people might, you
know,
have some problems.
That 2-year-old's gonna want to talk to your dad, you know, see what your intentions are. But I think, but I think there is something to be said about that, like, that getting all those eyes on you like that as a teacher, like, is such an empowering, and them, like, I mean, these, what were some of the lines these kids were throwing at you? Do you remember?
I mean, just like, hey, Nikki teacher, what's up? Like, because they call me Nikki teacher because it was a Korean thing. I don't know. And they're like, hey, Nikki teacher, what's up? Man, Nikki teacher, why are you taking my phone? And one kid, like, sold me his phone. Like, I was a broke kid. Like, I was like, dealing with these kids. Not like, but I
did you buy weed from them, too?
I was trying to be the cool teacher, too. Like, sure. I was trying to just have them be my friend. Be.
Isn't that so weird that even though you're in the position of power, you're still like, please like me.
Please like me. Think I'm cool. Think I'm funny.
You're right back to high school again.
And then that lasted a day, and I was like, give me your phones! And they're like, what happened to Nikki teacher? She was so cool. I mean, I flipped one day.
Turned a bitchy teacher.
Oh, it was, exactly. It was so, it's hard. Teaching was so hard. When they don't want to learn and they don't want to listen, I just go, okay, fine, I don't care. Like, my sister's a teacher and, like, breaks through to them and teaches and makes them excited
she
about
goes
Spanish.
Full Michelle Pfeiffer.
And I just, I, yeah.
Some people
I
go for that.
Yeah. Just go, okay, I don't care if you learn a 5-paragraph essay or not.
If you don't what?
If learn a 5-paragraph essay, you're not going to go to college as easy as this girl over here. But I'm not able to teach her about what she actually wants to learn because you won't even learn the fundamentals of the thing. So I'm going to leave you behind and focus on her. Yeah. And those are the decisions that teachers are making every day.
Every day, dude.
It's so hard to be a teacher, and you're not paid, and you do so much work when you get home. All the grading, they're not paid for that. And I know they get Jan, July, and August off, but teachers are... the hardest job to me.
That, and they have to deal with parents, which to me,
parent teacher conferences? Like, are you kidding me? Do you realize, like,
how come you're not teaching my child? They're eating paste all day.
Aren't even mad about, they're not even like, why is my son not learning? They're like, why are you giving homework? That's the problem now. Parents don't like homework. Like,
right, because then they end up having to do it or having to help.
Exactly.
And they don't want to work.
Why doesn't he finish this at school? Like, that's the new problem, is like, my child's overworked. And so, it's, I'm so glad I don't.
And the technology,
that.
Like, think about trying to balance that. Like, I know they probably, they don't take their phones like at a Chappelle show, do they?
They don't, but like, they should.
They absolutely
but
should.
They, kids are texting all day. How are they retaining any information?
I have no clue.
I mean, I guess it's good because they're learning to put down their phones and not be able to access their phones. They're not for me to not be on my phone, it needs to be taken from me because I'm an adult who
for
can
real?
Pull.
You're doing a good job right now. It's been about 30 plus minutes. You haven't touched it.
But now you're thinking about it.
No, I'm not. But it's still here. You know, like,
it's in a safe space.
Yeah, I have to either be on stage or engaged.
Yeah,
and that's not happening. but I think it's good for kids to, like, be taught that there's times to put it down and, like, listen. So maybe that's it's probably good for them. I need that.
Lord knows adults need it too.
I don't sit down and just watch. Like when you're watching something or learning something, you're on your phone too.
Yeah.
While you're watching a YouTube thing or whatever, it's always on your phone.
There was a time when we didn't do that.
I know.
And I can't even remember doing that.
I can't.
Where I'm like, I'm going to watch all four episodes of Tailspin and I'm not going to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to do anything.
You just stare at the screen.
Yeah.
Just stare.
And that's enough.
Where parents had to be like, yo, stop staring. Like sit back further. And like that's not even a
watching
problem anymore.
TV used to be like I watch TV and like you're embarrassed about it and you're like I watched 8 hours of TV today and now I'm like if I watched a show I'm like it's almost I get the same cockiness of reading a book, you know, like I'm like I watched
down.
A show today
because
I don't even have the attention span for shows. I really don't
thank you for saying that. I don't even
I don't watch any shows. I don't watch any movies. I don't consume entertainment and it's actually impacting my life. Like I need things to talk about on my radio show. I need to have
I need to be
plugged into culture.
You know what's going on
when I'm taking meetings at CBS or NBC. I need to know kind of what people
what's on their network.
Bird Box, I should have seen that, but I don't want to see that because it's too disturbing. But like I watched the Fyre Festival documentaries. I'm so proud of myself to even be able to have that kind of like
reference. Now how soon into it do you need to be sucked in before you go time to look up old episodes of Just Shoot Me?
I mean that was a great show.
That was a bad example.
But I would never watch anything if I'm not watching what I'm watching. I'm on Reddit or I'm on Twitter or I'm on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I don't watch anything. I watch short videos on Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm not watching a TV show that I'm... I mean, I'm watching the Ted Bundy documentary
now. I had no clue that so much of that took place in Seattle.
Dude.
Everyone's texting me being like, dude, I'm just waiting to like watch it and be like... Yo,
that's
this
my
motherfucker.
Mom.
Yeah. He was hiding all the
mom.
Bodies in my teepee. My mom got me for my birthday in my backyard. She got me a teepee.
He wasn't.
What's that?
He wasn't hiding them there.
Bummer.
I know where he was hiding them.
Don't tell me.
No, I mean,
it's Baskin Robbins.
Dude, the Ted Bundy thing is so insane. We all know.
I love how you're
name.
Not watching Bird Box because that's too disturbing, but Ted Bundy, you're
Bird Box,
all about it.
I don't want to see a bunch of people kill themselves. Like, and like, that sounds so disturbing. I can't even handle it.
Spoiler alert.
Fake
but
people kill
no,
themselves.
No, it's right. It's like the opening scene, right? Yeah. Isn't it like pretty soon in? You start like.
What happened? Happens.
People start, they see a thing and then they kill themselves.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the.
Also, what is your timeline for when something comes out and talking about it and people going, whoa, I haven't seen it?
2 weeks.
I just got into that with somebody.
I don't like to spoil anything ever. I think I would like to never spoil anything ever. But Bird Box, like, that's the thing that happens right away.
Like A Star Is Born. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Okay. So my stepmom brought it up and she was like, have you seen A Star Is Born yet? And we're like, we're waiting to go see it. She goes, oh, you're going to love it. I can't believe blah, blah, blah. And then just, and I won't say it, and just says the
bullshit ending.
And I'm like, you ruined my childhood and now A Star Is Born? You bitch.
That's just as.
But it was, this was a
adorable.
Month ago.
That is not okay. That's not okay.
Yeah. She's not okay.
Nowadays you need to much like you need to ask for consent to give a massage, you need to ask for consent to talk about a show.
Yes, you should. But let me just tell you, the Ted Bundy show.
Yeah.
You think you know about a weird, like, there's a twist. There's stuff that happens in there. You go, I can't believe we don't talk about this every day.
Because we all know the base is like, hey, the guy ate people.
No, that was Dahmer.
Oh, that was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Bundy bit some girls. He bit some bitches, and that's what brought him down.
Was he the guy that like coerced girls and really was like, yo, like picked him up and then
It was like, oh, my arm is hurts and
it was
in
charming,
a cast,
right?
Can you, this idiot.
Do you have any Neosporin? And then
but he was he's interesting because. You almost feel bad. I have empathy for pretty much everyone now because I believe there's no free will. And so whatever you do, you just do and you can't help it. Like no one chooses to do anything. They just are who they are. And it's true.
Based on how they were raised, based on events that happened to them.
Based on their chemistry, on their life events, when they were born, where they were born.
How many fruit by the foots they've eaten.
I think I'm moving this cup and I want to move this cup. I didn't know I was going to move. Like you're just.
You think we're all
Get into Sam Harris and him talking about the illusion of free will because there is no free will.
This is a simulation.
It could be, but either it is already predetermined or it is completely random because you cannot predict what's going to happen and you don't know what you're doing.
I did know you were going to say that.
I'm second guessing all of this.
Wait, Sam Harris
is amazing. He's changed my life. But he has made me feel. He opens this book called Free Will, talking about these heinous murders of these two men that were robbed a family, tied the family up, were just there to rob, and then it just got out of hand, and they ended up like raping and murdering and just the worst crime. I remember reading about this crime ages ago, and then I'm reading the Sam Harris philosophy book, and I'm like, why are these murders happening? And his point is that those two men that are the most villainous people you could ever imagine for what they did to that family, that innocent family, they could not help what they did. They were born into circumstances. They were born into bodies that led them on that path, and there was nothing they could do to not do that. And if you were born into their bodies, you would have done the same exact thing. So we are just lucky that we aren't born into and going to head in that direction. But they, and that's not to say that those people shouldn't be punished or that we shouldn't be upset with them.
Yeah, except to overthrow the entire judicial system.
Exactly.
If that was true.
But it does make you question death penalty. It does make you question just, it's, so with Ted Bundy, I'm like, this guy is like, can't help but murder. He gets an entity in him that he describes as the force or the entity, and he's got to murder, and he's got to do it.
Jeez.
Like, I don't have anything in my life like that. Do you ever
stand
get
up?
In? Yeah, sometimes I'm like, I got to get on stage, but not even like.
You're talking about like weird vices or what?
Yeah, just something
just
that you're
something
just
that is,
something overcomes you, and you're like, I have to do it right now.
Yeah.
I get
sugar. Like, do you ever like, I need a cupcake?
But it, there's nothing that you're like, I can't. You feel like you can't stop it.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought that about pot at one point in my life.
Yeah.
In college.
Yeah.
But that's because the pot was so good.
Really?
Yeah, it was when I first started smoking.
People like, pot was, oh, okay. Your reaction to pot was so good
before you
built up a tolerance.
Every time I was laughing the most I would ever laugh.
Yeah, it's
and
so
it was
fun.
All great. Because I lived with three dudes in my acting program that we all smoked. That was the way we closed the night. And we watched from 1 to 3 a.m. We watched two back-to-back episodes of Nick Arcade from 1 to 2.
That's weirdly specific.
It was a show on Nickelodeon. In the 90s, hosted by this real smooth black host. And this guy, where is he now? I don't know. Norm, do you mind looking him up? The host of Nick Arcade. And then from 2 to 3, the Tony Danza show on ABC syndicated.
Oh, wow.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are so many things I think of, like, thank God I'm not into that. Like, do you feel like that R. Kelly can't help the pee thing?
No, he can't help what he did.
He can't?
Nope.
Because every day I wake up going,
you would have been born as R. Kelly. You would have done the same thing, and you would be a major recording artist that many people apologize for years and years and years. And you would have imprisoned and raped and beaten many women.
Really?
And peed on them. So, and lots of other things. I haven't seen the documentary. Made them pee in buckets. I mean, like, it's the worst thing ever. But R. Kelly's, you know, he was abused as a child, clearly, and whatever happened to him, he couldn't help but be that awful.
What do you mean, clearly?
I mean, if someone acts out that way and enslaves women,
something must
have
happened.
Abuses them, something happened to you.
I guess just statistically,
or you're I mean, I'm sure there's examples like Ted Bundy was he raised well. Apparently, there was no abuse. There was nothing. It's like this came out of nowhere. But generally, there's a lot of fucked up things that have happened.
He's not alive, right?
Ted Bundy? No.
Did they ever get recordings or interviews with him to get inside his head?
Yeah, like, that's what this whole show is about. It's
shut
called Conversations with a Killer.
What?
Yeah.
So does he give insights into being like...
He can only talk about it in third person. This journalist was not making any leeway with him because he was maintaining his innocence. He was kind of speculating on things. He wouldn't talk about specifics. And then the journalist was like, I'm at a dead end here. This is the early 70s. And then he figured out, oh, this guy's such a narcissist that if we celebrate this person as a third party and talk about him and what may have motivated him, this guy who did these killings, do this. It's kind of like OJ's If I Did It.
Yeah.
Once you put someone else, then they can talk freely about it.
And
but they're smart
and
enough
now
not to.
Talking it up, like almost like celebrating the person. Like, what all he accomplished.
Suddenly he was able to open up. And then he did a little first person stuff, but you don't get too much into it. What is fascinating about Ted Bundy is that he just couldn't stop. And it just, you go, surely this is it.
He was the Pringles of killers.
Yeah, once he popped those bitches in the head with a log. And I say bitches in a very affectionate way.
Of course.
And you realize watching this that people aged horribly in the 70s. We would have been killing it in the 70s with how young we look for our age.
Oh, man.
But obviously we're benefiting from all the things.
All the creams.
All the creams, all the moistures, all the not smoking, all the not drinking,
all the
things that shame us now.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, they were like, you have to do all
this. You're not smoking? How come you're not giving that
baby a cigarette? Ted Bundy was arrested when he was 29, like that, I think. And you look at photos of him in custody. At the most, he's in his early 30s because I think they got let him, they finished him off
at trial and all that.
His 30s.
Yeah.
So, but he looks like a 50-year-old man. It's not just from stress. I mean, he always looked old. Like people, even the victims, they're like 18-year-old. And you're like, that girl lived a full life. Like, not that I'm saying she was ready to go, but like that girl looks like me. I'm 34 and this is 18.
Well, think people about, think about how bad you feel after you spend a week in Vegas where you're around like people smoking in a casino.
And you're dry and you're
Like after a week, you're like, that was life back then in the 70s all the time.
All the time, surrounded by smoke and drink. And people just looked gross.
It is.
I want to go back and just be like, hey guys.
Just fucking be killing
Am I dewy enough for it? Like, they would like die at how dewy I am. They
wouldn't even understand moisture. Like, I don't understand this.
Can you imagine wearing moisturizer in the 70s? There was probably like one moisturizer to buy.
Well, like,
and everyone wore it. It was probably so simple.
Yeah, and like
then.
The only people that wore face creams back then were like 72-year-old women. Like,
yes.
Then they started doing it.
Oh my God. Like, my mom has never ever put on a night cream, a day cream, has never done any of that stuff, and it's shocking to me.
She's got great skin.
She looks good, and she smoked for years and drank for years, so I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, this is looking good for me.
Yeah, you got those genes.
Because this bitch is not taking care of herself at all in the face, and she's still looking good, but that's absurd to me, and it shouldn't be absurd. I wish I were a woman. I think putting all this stuff on our faces makes a need for it. Like, I almost got my teeth whitened the other day. Like, I just wanted to go real, like, Jessica Simpson white. You know what
Dang.
I mean? Like, just crazy
white. Oh, wait, because your teeth are white.
They're white enough, but, like, Hollywood white.
Like,
you know what I mean?
You want to be your own flashlight.
Yes, exactly. Like, sometimes I just saw a girl at the nail salon, and I was like, her teeth are so white. I want teeth like that.
Yeah.
I was just, like, kind of looking like,
look,
I need to have that white of teeth. Like, that's what's going to make me happy. So I was, like, looked it up on Yelp.
Aren't there things, there's like little things
but
you
this
can...
bitch is like, we do it. She was like, don't trust anyone else. You have to do a diet afterwards, a 4-day diet of no coffee, no staining foods, mm-hmm. which is everything I eat.
Yeah.
And so I panicked at the last minute and I didn't do it. First of all, because I didn't want to spend an hour and 15 minutes with this girl inside my hotel room. Cause she's like, I come to you. And I'm like, what are you going to do while I'm right there?
That's
like,
how the next Ted Bundy documentary starts. You invite him to the hotel room.
I know. That's how it felt.
Right.
I just didn't want to spend time with this woman. And then also I was like, if this is one more thing I've got to maintain, I can't do it.
No, it's too
I'm
much.
I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I cannot. Women are Golden Gate Bridges. Okay. The Golden Gate Bridge, they never stop painting, right?
Yeah.
It's always being painted because as soon as they get done with one end, they got to start on the other again.
Right.
And that is being a woman. You are never done. I get my nails done and I go, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't have to. And then I go, what are you talking about? You have to do this in 2 weeks. You have to sit there again for an hour and watch and feel bad because you're having someone who's been probably a slave doing your nails because the nail industry is like you can't make sure they're getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where you go. And I'm not saying all places are like that, but there was like a New York Times article that came out and every girl sent it to each other about nail salons in New York City. They're like, they're slaves pretty much. It's slave labor. And they work long hours. They sleep in the nail salon. And we all forwarded
it. Sleep there?
We all forwarded it to each other. And we were like, we're done. We're done. Right?
And then
2 weeks pass and you go.
Guys, Adam Ray here. And look, we all have those nights where your brain just won't shut up. You're lying there in bed thinking about that awkward thing you said to your gym teacher in 2012, or maybe that thing that your mom's best friend said to you and you didn't know how to respond, or if your dog knows that you love him as much as you say you do. I've been there. And recently, I found something that's actually been helping me chill out. CBD FX. They've been around since 2014. They're one of the OGs of the CBD world, and everything they make is clean, organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no sketchy chemicals, just pure good vibes. I've been really digging their CBD plus CBN calming tincture. I take it before bed, and I swear it's like hitting the off switch for all that late night brain noise. I've also tried their mixed berry gummies, which taste incredible. It's not like medicine. It's more like something you actually want to eat, you know, and you just feel more balanced, more chill and laid back, maxing all cool shootings and b-ball outside of the school. Whether you want calm focus, better sleep, or just overall wellness in your life, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my ALN listeners get 40% off your first order with promo code AboutLastNight at CBDFX.com. That's CBDFX.com with promo code AboutLastNight to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Have you ever spent $150 on a bottle of cologne? Then you get home, you sprayed it on, and immediately you think to yourself, wow, I smell like a mistake. Yeah, me too. It's painful. That's why I love micro perfumes. They let you try luxury scents without committing to a full bottle or throwing cash down the drain. I'm talking Dior, Tom Ford, Creed, the real deal for just a few bucks. Here's the fun part. You get pocket-sized vials so you can test drive your scent before you buy. That's what we all want. Test drive before you buy. Your fragrance, like your first handshake, it says a lot before you even open your mouth. You want something bold, classic, nostalgic? Michael perfumes make it easy to find your vibe. I've tested a few myself and discovered some scents that I wouldn't have guessed that I would have loved. But you know what? It rules. The shipping's fast. I can even keep a couple in my bag for travel or nights out. Maybe in the car, my pocket, wherever. Sometimes you just need to smell like a million bucks, and you don't want to have a big-ass bottle in your purse or your fanny pack. No knockoffs, no guessing, just real designer fragrances ready when you are. Honestly, it's the smartest way to avoid that $200 bottle disaster. That was my nickname in middle school. So why commit blind to a $200 bottle? Find your scent, soulmate, today and get up to 60% off at microperfumes.com/ALN. Just for my listeners, that's microperfumes.com/ALN. For up to 60% off. Microperfumes.com/ALN. Real sense, no regrets. Right, Johnny Depp?
That's right, Adam.
Thanks, Johnny.
The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds that you won't find anywhere else. Don't wait. The most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast. And now is the perfect time to cross your names off your list. I found this hot sauce making kit, yeah, on their site. And it comes with everything you need to make your own sauces. I bought it from my buddy Brad, who puts sauce on literally everything from eggs to pasta to his wife, including cereal once. He made it. It's unique, hilarious, and actually awesome. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you honestly won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're not only supporting artists and small independent businesses, but many of these products are made in small batches. So look, you don't want to wait, because once they're gone, that is it. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross the names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/about. That's uncommongoods.com/about for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
They probably fixed it. Like they definitely fixed it. Like it's fine now. And
it's
now
not
I go
still
back.
Happening.
Nothing has changed.
It's like when the guy got dragged off United Airlines, and everyone's like, "We are never flying United
until you do kayak, and it's the and it's the number one."
They're like $15 from Beijing to Burbank.
Yeah,
they're
like, you're okay, fuck it, I'm in.
I'll put my dog in the overhead. I'll risk it.
I do wonder if there would ever be something as simple for the Ted Bundy like that set him off. And I'm sure it gets explained and I'll have that to look forward to. But like if it was something as simple as like, you know, he's like, I applied for a Gap card and got denied, so I'm going on a killing spree. Like,
yes.
What is it that in that, thing, that thing realm that or was it something rooted in deeper evil? Where he had a thing, like, was it women?
I'm sure something would bubble up. And yeah, I think it was all related to girls that had scorned him, like his girlfriends that had either slow faded or had just broken up with him. And
let
then,
that be a lesson to you, ladies.
Just don't stay. Stay forever, because you might go murder a bunch of other people if you don't stay forever.
How shitty
protect
is that?
Other women by staying with her.
Did you do that too, camera?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Make sure it is your responsibility. That's the thing I love about when they go, girls, why don't you wear... You, because I complain about sometimes jogging outside at night and like being scared. Or just, and they're like, people are like, carry mace, carry a weapon. And I'm like, why don't you guys stop raping us? And they're like, we can't.
Well,
sorry.
I mean, that's
like,
a little too much to ask.
It's really hard to not rape.
Rapers gotta rape. You
no
know?
One isolate that audio, please.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna do it.
It's true, though. It's like we have to protect ourselves from men.
Do you feel safe? A comedian just posted this thing on Facebook.
No.
Do you feel. She just posted this thing on Facebook about being at the beach and this creepy guy like following her.
I read that. Yeah, Sarah, yes. Yeah.
And she real sweet and posted, and it was like, it wasn't a attention grabbing, like, you know, like trying to overhype
it. It was a woman's very experience.
Real. Yeah. And it was fucked up. And I was like, this is, and I was talking to her about it last night and trying to find some comedy in it too. Cause I'm like, I was like, this is, well, I mean, very empathetically discussing
course,
it and being like,
course.
I was like, I can't even. I told her it didn't even seem fathomable to me as I was reading it, because I just can't even think in terms I know they're out there, but this guy that literally was just creeping up, and I was like, were the other people around? Did you think of like trying to sit down and join a conversation? She's like, oh yeah. She's like, and I was about to and kind of did. She's like, and I didn't want to leave, but then I was like, I guess I have to. And I was like, you shouldn't have to ultimately like adjust that much, but I guess this is the world we live in. But like, she's like, yeah, but I was in fucking Malibu on the beach and this guy, they just creeped and she turned around and kept getting closer. And then finally she ran to her car and then he turned around and like went the other way. And I'm like,
jeez.
And she's like in Malibu. And then, you know, we started joking about like, she's like, I guess I can never get married on the beach. And cause like,
oh, that's
she'll
hilarious.
Be staring down and the guy's like, you know, babe, like, you know, say like, do you? And she's like, remember? Yeah, of course, that day. And so she's talking about how she needs to get married in an alley now because it's the one place she wasn't attacked or whatever.
That's hilarious because right? They're doing it now. That's so funny.
But I couldn't like wrap my head around like that type of an, but it does happen more often, I guess, than, you know, than we, because also too, like she was saying like how many trepidations she had about even posting that experience. So it's like, I guess until you see it.
Yeah, because people go, oh
sorry,
so...
the beach was filled with dudes that just wanted to talk to you.
Yes. And that's
what
the kind
thing of
is
bikini
it...
were you wearing that
yeah, you probably suckered
him
in.
Yeah.
With your body.
You're
quit teasing him.
Exactly. What are you doing to prevent us from raping you? Because we have to do what we're going to do. And you're the one that's responsible for not putting it all out there. Or why weren't you with someone? Why didn't you have a weapon with you? Why would you put yourself in that scenario? I mean, that we can make fun of people saying that for like ad nauseum, but it's completely what we get met with at every turn. I remember I was, here's a new thing that I want to put out there. Start walking us to our cars. If a girl walks off into the night, at least ask her, where are you going? Can I walk you there? Because walking alone as a woman, wherever you are, is not great. Is always a risk.
Yeah.
And so I think somewhere along the way, men stopped walking women places. I passed a guy, I was leaving the improv and I was walking towards, you know, the weird parking spaces in like the dark, two blocks away that are frightening.
Yes.
It was late at night and I was walking to my car and I had just, this comedian had just gotten off stage inside the improv and I had been like, that was great. Like I had given him a really nice compliment. He left. I stayed at the improv. And then when I was walking in my car, he was walking back from his car and he goes, don't get raped. And I go, why would you say that?
Yeah.
First of all, you're making it seem like it's up to me.
Right.
And secondly, if you think that's a threat, why aren't you walking me into my car, which you know is just a block away? Why would you keep going? And he later messaged me and goes, I don't know what I was thinking. I just say things sometimes. I'm really sorry. But that didn't excuse the fact that, like, just walk me. Any of those guys in the place should have walked me. And I'm not saying,
turn around.
This isn't something I go to my car and I go, no one asked me. I don't even realize until I'm saying it now, because I think if you were like, do you want me to walk your car? I'd be like, I got it. You know, you're going to get met with that. But I think having a little bit more...
recognition just of the situation. Do you think there's a part
as a woman being alone is you're it's scary.
Do you think there's a part of him that was like, oh, I don't like, she's, you know, she might be like, I'm an independent woman, I can get to the car myself, so I'm not even gonna like go through that moment of feeling like less than a man because she's gonna tell me that she's got it.
Yes, risk that. I would say risk that because I get
yourself.
That. I would totally empathize with that feeling of like, they've got it. I don't want to, you know, when I see an old woman crossing the street and you offer your help and they go, I got it. And you go, whoa, sorry, I'm never going to help again.
I go through that with my mom all the time where I'm like, mom, let me get that. She's like, I can carry a pot of soup.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, but you got that bad shoulder. Well, then I guess I just will have one shoulder.
Yeah, I think
and I'll
it's
drop
better
the soup,
to ask.
But let me drop it, you know?
Yep.
But
I think
you
it's
got
better to ask.
It is. Just ask.
And it just, especially at night when a girl is leaving a bar, never let a girl go home by herself unless you see her into the car she's going in. And like, just,
because that
that's when girls get attacked.
Yeah.
Walking back, even when you used to park behind Fred Siegel at the improv, I would always be walking back there and I'm like, I can't believe I haven't been murdered or
these are murder
yet.
Shrubs, by the way. There's so many like nice vines and bushes and I'm like, dude, these are just waiting for someone to pop out.
Right. And Hollywood is teeming with methed out homeless people that, you know, it's a different LA than when I lived here.
Absolutely.
2 years ago.
Sure.
It's like, it's getting dangerous.
You've only
dangerous.
Been here 2 years.
Huh?
You've only been here 2 years?
I've been gone a year, but I guess I was here a year. Yeah, I moved a year, but it's a different LA than I lived here like four different times.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But every time I come back, there's like homeless camps everywhere. Pete Lee just said it looks like the day after Coachella.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, LA does look like Coachella. Like, it looks like everyone's just waiting for to get tickets to something.
Yeah.
Or it's like, Black Friday.
Oh, cool. It's the lineup out front of that store for new sneakers.
And in
no,
nice
that's just
neighborhoods.
Tense.
There's a homeless problem here. And I'm like, it's going to reach
critical mass at some point.
At some point. Yeah, soon.
And it's so crazy that you say that, because I think a lot of guys don't even know that that's a thing like that. Like that's a thing that women are scared of.
Oh my God. And
or what you've had to go through.
And this is my other thing. Women, I am so physically fit. Like I am the in the best shape of my life. I'm probably the strongest I'll ever be. I couldn't fight off the frumpiest, most out of shape, disabled man. Men are just stronger. And if you convince yourself that you're a woman that I can take it because I can run fast or whatever. No, you can't. Men are stronger and they will, if they want you, we're weaker. It sucks. I hate being physically weaker. I hate it.
Oh, I've heard.
Why don't you get jacked?
I am jacked right now.
Yeah, but I mean, like, get like truly but like Venice Beach.
It doesn't matter. A woman jacked is just as strong as a man unjacked. I'm not kidding you. An out of shape man. Men are just born to rape or run. Whatever.
Which one is it? I need to know.
Run then.
Men
rape.
Are born to be strong, and women are not as much. And
wasn't
we
that
can.
A Bruce Springsteen song? Born to.
Rape.
He wrote it Born to Rape, but they're like, we think you should go with Run, Bruce.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, well, if you want that Netflix special in 25 years.
That's what he was going for. He knew about that platform coming up. But I always say it, but I do a bit about this, but it's true. It's like, what was my point about Born to Rape? Guys are just.
Well, a jacked woman is stronger.
Yeah.
Than an unjacked dude.
Always. And if you, I've been so, because sometimes I go running at night and I'll be like, oh, if someone wants to rape me, they'd have to run really fast. I'll convince myself of that. Mm-hmm. But men.
So
can,
it's going to make me work harder?
Even Jesus. I've challenged my schlubby friends to like street races, just like quick sprints when
That's
I've been
fun.
Like kind of cocky about, I'm fucking fast right now. I'm running I could do a 6 minute mile, like boom. In a quick sprint, you will lose to any man. They're this was my point.
That maybe you have heels.
Girls always
too.
Go, but girls are stronger on the inside. I'm like, bitch, your strong insides are going to be all over the sidewalk because you convince yourself you can walk to your car at night because you're strong insides. We're weaker.
Oh,
it sucks.
Shit. It does. Yeah. There's no way around that, huh?
Carry bear spray.
Bear mace.
Yeah, for those burly dudes who are stupid. It's Axe.
Not stupid. Real funny. It's Axe spray. Is there, have you used mace spray or any sort of... deodorant to
I mean, I've carried
off.
It before, but and I have a thing called a Tiger Lady, which is like this thing that you I've hold in your hand and you squeeze, and it has like the Wolverine kind of claws that come out, and they're sharp. But I do a whole bit about this. It would just inconvenience someone. It would just scratch them and make them want to murder you harder. There's no real damage that can be done except like, ow, bitch, and then a random act of violence would turn into a crime of passion. That's what you just did for yourself. Someone would be like, this guy hated this woman.
Yeah.
And it was, they had never met before. Him. How did this happen so quickly?
Because then you got to trust that you're somewhat well-versed in like how to stab and like what's
the
angle.
Yeah, I don't have any, I was carrying this thing around. Like I got it walking my dogs around the reservoir. Like if someone came up, and I'm like, no, I would just like flirt with them a little bit. I would like brush the hair out of their eyes.
I love that these companies and just society just expects like, we're going to equip you ladies with these weapons, which you obviously know how to use.
Yeah. No idea.
No idea.
Even dudes wouldn't know how to fight. You give most dudes a little Wolverine claw on his knuckle, he'd be like, yeah, I got it, man. And you're like, that's not how you swing it,
that
Dave.
That is not how you need training for these things. But then this is all a bit I do. So forgive me for when you hear this on my Netflix special, but why not just drop it? But it's just true.
Yeah.
I found later on I was listening to because I got the Tiger Lady because I listened to Sirius or I used to listen to Howard Stern like all the time. And they would always advertise this weapon. And I was like, I'm getting it. Tiger Lady is like, it's the new way to self-defend. You hold it in your hand. And it is a cool tool. It's like, it's pretty neat. But on the commercial, it says, collects the most DNA of any defense tool. And I'm like, why are you going to need that if this works?
Yes.
What? And pretty much it's just saving the police detective from scraping underneath your fingernails.
Your murder.
Yeah. It's once again, you're making a man's job easier by having this thing. He gets to take a longer lunch break because you have the Tiger Lady.
Right. The cops are like, ladies, can you help us out?
Yeah. My line is, next it's going to be like, comes with your own chalk outline. Like, oh, ooh, good. Collects the most DNA. I was like, that's a selling point.
How much do you get to riff and work bits out on your show, You Up, which is phenomenal.
Thank you.
You're becoming a very good host.
Thank you so much.
You always
much.
Have been, but like your interview skills are getting real
I
on
got
point.
A real Gene Wedgie going on right
do
now.
Do you? Do you want to take
man,
a minute?
That was, no. That was far up. And I'm going to have to wash these quicker than I would want to. They were really up there.
Nice.
You know, not that I have like a... stinky badge, but like you know,
far
you don't wear underwear 2 days in a row.
You think you could sell those on eBay? Do you have crazy fans that might?
Yeah, I probably could.
Yeah,
there
just because they're cute. Just a girl who wants them.
See, They're limited
Gap style. I brought like 8 pairs of these. High-waisted jeans are the best.
That's going to be a fun stage, I think, for all of us when you get to that like fluffy status, you know, Gabriel Iglesias, where you're just like, oh man, I could sneeze and then be like, throw it away and be like, well, or do I put this online for the fans?
Oh man, I don't want that. Because oh, then
it's going to be desirable, but like that is a stage of
yeah. fame.
Yeah,
sure.
I know. I remember my aunt having John Lennon's cigarette butts, which was like the coolest thing
that is
ever.
Cool.
She
bought them, or she
went into his hotel room after he had left town and took them from the ashtray in there. So they were probably either like Yoko or John's.
And that's when fame was. Like, oh. Yeah, I feel like things were probably even more exciting then because now it's like
because they weren't
Google
accessible.
A pic and be like, oh, it doesn't look that cool.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
your show. You
I'm
enjoy
sorry,
it.
I got that wedgie out. I feel like a new woman.
take me through what
now.
That was like,
now
though.
You could use that. Tiger
I didn't even
lady
know
thing
it was
accurately.
Happening. I just wear high-waisted jeans constantly, so I constantly have a camel toe. I'm leaning into camel toe.
Go for it. It's 2019.
I've talked about this before, but like it, I'm. It's not even
it's
a bit.
It's a new CT scan.
It feels good. Like you know how girls get their clits pierced and they're like, because when I walk upstairs I have an orgasm, like that's always the story you hear.
Jeez.
Like they're getting off constantly because it's like it can like jingle around.
Yeah,
you've never heard that?
I've heard versions, but
yeah,
not.
Like when you could on the stair climber you're feeling things, that's like high-waisted jeans. You're constantly, your clit is constantly kind of being touched.
Wow.
Because your jeans are like camel toeing up and it
why
feels
don't they do that
day.
In the ads
that's what
that
I'm
would
telling.
Be so
but
much
I
better.
Think I've developed a callus
tired
at this
of
point.
Working out without coming.
Yeah,
that Stairmaster not giving you that extra boost that you need.
My God. Like being turned, being laughing or being turned on while working out, you can't do anything because you have to be like strong. I don't understand people who can listen to comedy podcasts and work out.
Oh, really?
Because then it makes me weak and I go like, and I can't, like, I can't do
By the
it.
Way, I love that that's how you laugh. You get real into it. Your whole body.
Yeah, like if someone's working out to this right now, yeah. I don't know how you're doing it. You're not getting a good workout.
No.
I know that.
Well, maybe when we were talking about the sexual assault stuff.
Mm. What about the?
Yeah, then they were training for it. They're like, I gotta catch her.
I gotta catch Wait, what about? Does it work with the cock ring? Like the same way? Like, has there been a dude that's been like, I love it when it rubs up against my
wait a second.
Mesh shorts?
Your dicks have constantly got to be like touching your pants a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Is there ever a time where you're like stimulated by your own pants, or do you just like not?
There's definitely been times when it rubs up against
yeah,
and you're like,
okay, so you get what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You get exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, I was driving home from Phoenix this morning and I got a nice position and I was like, cool.
Yeah. I get
this.
It. Yes.
Now, was your dog involved?
My dog was in the back seat.
Okay.
Did not know what's going on.
So you told him?
I mean, yeah.
He likes to be informed.
Sure.
You don't want to leave him out.
Like, hey, this wasn't you this time,
wait
buddy.
Wait a second. I'm really
but
confused. Did you jerk off on the ride home?
No. But I
but
had
you
a
can't?
Nice position where it was like, it just
where
felt
it was like
good.
You could just kind of go like this.
Yeah. Just kind of like go back and forth. And
Yeah.
And then my wife was like, why are you doing that? And I'm like, yeah, because my legs are tired.
Hilarious.
They weren't tired.
Tired.
They weren't tired.
She did
the
not buy that.
Legs
the old exhausted ankle.
Oh, I'm a tiny guy. My legs dangle. They get tired.
Oh,
I don't know why I'm turning
excuses.
Italian too.
Have you pulled over to take care of business before?
Talking to me?
No, the other guy that just talked about turning himself on while driving to Phoenix.
It's a very hot city, literally and figuratively. No, I have never
thought about
pull over. Oh,
have
yeah,
you?
Who hasn't thought about it?
No, I mean, pull over to
have sex.
Yeah,
right. I don't think.
But
I
to do it's just
that.
Too. It's too. I mean, man, to pull over and do it by there's no good way to do that. Also,
right.
At night, like you're like, a car's not going to see me and get hit. And that's the worst way to die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because then you're like hoping that you let go. But if you're dead and you're holding it and that's like the last shot they get to you and they send that
no
to your mom.
Then no one sends your dead body picture to your mom.
What?
Yeah, but now in the case of social media, we've all been in TV
what
shows.
Dead,
and
what
movies?
If a fan sees me before the cops do?
I hate to tell you're going to be dead and it won't matter.
You're right.
It really won't matter.
And, you, well, and hopefully
won't
you have
care.
A picture of me to post.
Oh, my God. We got to get one. I got to get those likes.
Yeah,
man.
A chance I might pull over.
Oh my God.
Do you what's your favorite part about doing your show right now? It's early, by the way.
It's real early.
How do you adjust to that?
So it's 7 to 9 when I'm in town here. It's fine. Once I'm up, I'm up. So that's fine. Like adjusting to it's not a problem. The best part about my show is the people I work with. I love my staff. But I think the best part is just having a radio show, it's like the coolest thing that I can imagine for myself.
It's the dream. Do you know how bad I wanted one since I was a kid?
This is the closest thing to it. I mean, you're there, but like, I actually...
We're flexing the muscle of it, but you're on a place that is like the home of of radio.
On Sirius, you know? Yes. Mm-hmm. And Howard Stern is right down the hallway, and I'm obsessed with him. And I think the optics of it are so cool to me, where I'm like, I can't believe I have my own radio show with my name on it.
You get to go to a
But the best part, seriously, is that it's so easy. I have all I want to do now is easy stuff. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I'm tired of doing things that I don't want to do. Yeah. And I'm at a point in my career where I can say no to things. I take on things that are hard, like the roasts are the hardest things I'll ever do. Mm-hmm. Every time I prepare for one, it's the hardest I've ever worked in my life is a roast.
Whoa.
And it doesn't seem like it. Yeah. But
it seems like the most effortless thing because you have roasting in your pinky, I feel like.
It is the hardest thing and last time I did it, I felt like someone who is pregnant. You know how women, they're pregnant and like, I'll never do this again. And they give birth and they're just like, this is the, get out of here, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. You know, they're screaming. Like, I was that insane. And I even said, I'm not gonna do, I won't, I don't want to do this again. I told my friends, remind me how miserable I am right now. Like, I can't do this. Because I never let myself not prepare. I always get asked too late because I'm not famous. So I only have a couple weeks to prepare. Mm-hmm. And then those weeks, I am out constantly. I am writing every chance I get. I am having people write for me. So I'm constantly reading jokes, having to file them. It's like you're running a show and you're alone. And it's brutal, and there's a lot of tears, exhaustion. Like, it is the worst. But then I'm going to do it again. Like, I would love to do it again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the radio show is so easy.
So they've got to ask you now. Like, that's your part of that.
I crush because I work hard. People that go in and don't, if someone does well on a roast, it's because they worked hard. Yeah. There's no other. It's not because they're a natural. Jeff Ross works his ass off.
Yeah.
Everyone works so.
When you practice,
it's the hardest thing to do. In comedy, I think.
Well, also you have to have good timing for it.
Also,
you have
hosting
to be likable.
An award show, I hear, is the other thing.
Because it's just thankless, and they're like the jokes. You can't really go deep in any topic. You have to very surface.
But my radio show, I love it because it's 2 hours every morning, and I just get to book it myself. I get to have people in that I want. Sometimes I have to have an actor in or someone that I'm like nervous about, and I don't like that. Like, I got to have Judd Apatow in, who obviously you guys have had him on the show too. It's so exciting to have Judd Apatow, but you're also nervous about it. It's work because you want to. Yeah. Be good and you're nervous. But when I have you in, you've been on the show, it's like I'm like, oh, Adam's in today. I don't need it. I just show up and go up, you know. But with Judd, I'm like going over notes. Should I ask him about this?
Well, because you know he's done so much press in
his
years.
You want to impress him.
And you want to get like some new things for him to talk about.
Yep. You got to do research.
Who did you have on that we talked about that you did great research on that I said was great? Was it not Kathy Griffin.
I really prepared for that one because I wanted to honor her experience and I wanted to educate people about what really happened to her, because once I found out about it, it was almost like the Ted Bundy thing of like, why aren't we all talking about this all the time if we all really knew the details of what happened to this woman and what Trump can do to someone and try to ruin someone and her resilience and her, like, I just was, people hate her. And that's not a new thing to say. People do not like her, mostly men. A lot of women, but conservatives especially, hate her. And they're wrong about her. And and you're wrong about her if you don't like her, because she's so talented.
Yeah, she is.
What he did to her was disgusting.
People are just seeing the headlines and then they form their own opinion and then that's it. But when you really talk to someone, you really get in there, which your show gives you the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Then you can find out so much more where you're like, oh, that's why.
Just read the details except the headlines. Yeah. Like, read what happened to her and you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe our president took someone down that way personally. It's just it's not insane, because of course he did, because he does
kind of scary that way, that some person could just tweet out, hey, this person's an asshole, this person is a bitch, it is so scary
because I've said things, I don't talk about him at all on my show because I just don't want any, I don't know if it's going to turn into North Korea, and then if you've said anything against him, you're locked up. I mean, that's what he would like. Mm-hmm. He would like, if you gave him the option to put away and to punish anyone who's ever thought a bad thing about him,
Rosie O'Donnell would be in a labor camp right now.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so would I. I mean, I've done enough things online that I'm already screwed if that's what happens. It's true. But it is scary because there are places where if you speak out against the leaders, you can be murdered.
Yeah.
And that's what he would want. I think, for America if he had his own way.
I feel like it's coming to a close. I feel like there's some things that are about to pop. But I said that like 4 months ago. But I
people
think
people keep saying that, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
And
it's,
I keep
it's
waiting.
The fun thing to say, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, you get your alert on your phone, you're like, oh, it's a new casserole recipe from the New York Times. Like, really? God.
Hey, also I thought it was exciting. I thought we were free.
Oh, I can't the times you get alerts on your phone and you think there's been an indictment or like whatever it is, and it's just it's
what's the most exciting alert you've gotten in the last 2 weeks?
Oh, it was probably what alert did I get? I'm trying to think. I think the most exciting thing I can have on my phone is when a guy that I'm have a crush on watches my Instagram story, like where I'm like waiting, where I'm like, oh, he's back. Interesting. Because
now he's watching.
Let me just say, Instagram stories are only for crushes. They're only if you're a single person and you know what I'm talking about. Like you're putting that up there to look like this is my life and to like
it's
attract
so great.
Attract
look,
crushes.
Look, person who I want to see this. Look at how great this could
not
be.
Not all of it, you but a lot here. Of it is. Yeah. And yeah, I think the best thing, there's a guy that like fell off for a while and he's he just came back and I was like, yes.
We talked about the massage chair earlier and you're like, I could get that to make me happy. What is something that you have purchased recently that has really made you happy? It could be
a ticket to Firefest.
It could be an expensive thing. It could be a cheap thing.
Oh my God. What?
Great question.
I will tell you.
It could be a coffee. It could be a,
Well, coffee makes me so happy and I buy it every day and I like get so excited about it. And,
I went 4 days without it last week and I thought I was going to kill myself.
How did you do that and why did you do that? And what did you learn from it?
That I will never be able to not have it.
I know. You could have done the tooth whitening thing 4 days.
I know.
That's why I couldn't sign up for that. I was like, I can't do 4 days.
I did feel better, I guess, stomach wise. Like I did.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I got insane withdrawal headaches and then.
And then you didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was, I was just like, let me just try to live off that natural life energy to wake up with.
What?
But nobody wakes up and just pops out of bed and goes, time to start another great day. Yeah. Thank God I'm not R. Kelly, you know?
I'm into.
I think
you
about
should,
that.
You should be grateful.
I wake up in the morning and go, I might not be doing everything right, but at least I have no inclinations to pee on people.
Like a million things that you could be inclinated to do. Is that the word? And
I think so.
You aren't, and we should all be so great. We won the lottery of life. Not
dude, have you ever seen
something.
Strange Addictions on A&E?
Oh God.
There was a woman there, she was like, I can't start my day unless I eat a bar of soap. And I'm like, well, fucking thank God that I love soap too, but to clean, not to fucking munch on.
Yep.
But that's her thing, and she like can't control it.
You know what I'm into right now?
What's that?
This is disgusting. This is like the new thing that I'm like.
This is the
Monster Energy.
This is why you're here.
Monster Energy drink.
Oh God, what flavor?
Disgust blue.
How long have you been into motocross?
I know. It's like.
What country singer are you dating?
I know.
No, they're good. The purple one I'm privy to.
Oh, the blue. I went to the doctor today and one of the girls.
Because of it?
No, I wouldn't tell them.
You were peeing neon
but
blue?
But one of the nurses was drinking. I go, who's drinking Monster? And I go, you drink this in public? Because I don't drink mine in public. I chug them in private. I buy that. If there's like a hot guy at the counter, I won't buy it in front of him. Yet I can talk about it on here. I'm so embarrassed by the can. It's a gigantic black can with like
it's aggressive.
Scratched on blue. Yeah.
It should just be a veiny cock on the side of the can.
It's
because
so
it is
big.
So
this is
aggressive.
An extension of my dick.
Well, it's just aggressive, and it's like
repulsive. It's disgusting.
Snakes and things intertwined.
I'm really embarrassed, but I love a good Monster Energy drink. But
because of it's your late night to fix before shows.
No,
instead
I just
of booze.
Like,
so
it's just a treat.
And this is what I love too,
it's a bad treat.
When people get sober. And then you got other like little things to kind of fill the void, maybe, right?
Yeah.
But you need
a
kick.
Yeah.
I don't drink, and so coffee and pot and now Monster Energy. Like coffee and pot
weren't
doing
worse
it
things.
For me.
Yeah,
wow.
No,
two uppers and a downer.
I know.
Have
I'm
had a 5 hour.
I need the taste of Monster. I was looking for a decaf one the other night. I just wanted the flavor. It's so good. It is so good.
You can just bite on a tin can and then it's the same
thing.
No,
you don't understand.
It's not.
Red Bull,
how dare you?
Sugar-free Red Bulls are disgusting. Yeah. A Monster, a blue Monster. Mm-hmm. Huh. They're so, I can't wait. I almost brought one here. I was like, they can handle it. They'll accept me for me.
We won't judge it too hard.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the same as smoking a cigarette or doing anything or drinking scotch. Like, it's all bad for you.
Yeah.
5 hour energy doesn't have the flavor kick that you want.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, I remember the last time I feel like my heart just started, stopped palpitating from when I drank like 6 months ago. Those things are a little, because they don't specify the amount of energy. They're like 5 hour energy, but it's like, what type of energy? Like, I want the like single mom, two kids, like, I'm going to get get it all done because there's not enough time energy. Not the like, hey, you guys want to do some coke and swim to Cabo energy? Because that's what I feel like that shit gives me.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I get too... And also there's no like gap. It just goes 0 to 60 and then you're like, yeah, let's fucking go. There. And then yes, you crash. And
a huge crash.
Monster, you can gauge the ups and downs a little bit more.
Man, I just love chugging it though. I'm a real piece of trash.
You need to start talking about it on You Up, because I
know,
I think
it's... I do. That's all I talk about is like my addictions. I cried the other day on air. Like,
do they even sponsor the show?
That's the thing I love about the show is that I go in there sometimes. And when you do radio every day,
yeah,
there are some days where I need to not be on mic. Like, you know, yeah, you can, when I have to do a show, I can always just rest on my material. It's already pre-written. I can stick to a script. If I'm like depressed or my thoughts are really dark, or
it's okay because you have the words.
Yeah,
you
I can
already
just
know words.
Play the
yeah
hits,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But when you have a radio show, you can't play the hits. You are just on mic. And there are some days where I'm like, I should not be talking on mic today.
No.
I've canceled podcasts before. I once canceled on Bert Kreischer, like, which is a great podcast to do, yeah, because I was like, I'm depressed today and I'm going to say something weird that I regret and I'm not going to be good.
Now represent yourself.
And
yeah,
on radio, you have to go on, you can't call in mentally unwell. So I'll go on the other, on Thursday, I had to do Conan later that day. I'd flown in the night before. I hadn't had much sleep. And I was like talking about like, I have to get a spray tan later and I have to get my nails done. I just can't handle it anymore. And I'm just like crying on air. And I didn't even care because I'm like, this is just honest. Yeah. I think that's, I'm surrendering that to just being honest all
good
the time.
Good.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not entertaining, which I wasn't on Thursday, if I'm not funny, which I wasn't on Thursday, at least I'm honest. And people wrote to me being like, thank you. That made me feel good that you were that vulnerable, even though it wasn't cool, entertaining or funny. And I was like, okay, well then at least I can do that.
And I think people still want that honesty because we put celebrities on such a high pedestal that, yeah, it's not as bad as being in a slave camp in North Korea, but yeah, it's fucking stressful.
It's, yeah, people appreciate just, they're going through it too, especially with like the dark depression thoughts. Everyone thinks that they're the only one who thinks about killing themselves, and you ain't. Everyone thinks about yeah it, and it's actually a thing that your brain goes to naturally.
Yeah.
And I got talked about it on Rogan about like having suicidal thoughts, and which is scary to do because everyone in your life goes, "Oh my God, are yeah you gonna?" And it's like, yeah, "No, I'll let you know if it gets that bad." Because I've had it be that bad before, where I'm like, I don't like myself. Like, I don't trust myself. I'm mentally unwell, and I've been like, I tell my friends, like, "Hey, I want to kill myself," and those are all my constant thoughts. So can you like
this is
check
me
in on me?
Yeah, this is me. Yeah.
I don't
want to
die.
No.
And so
everybody does have those thoughts, huh?
But everyone does have those thoughts, and that's what I learned from sharing it, because I didn't know that. But then all these people wrote to me saying, like, you really nailed it, because what I described it as is just these it's not even like I conjure it, like I'm gonna lay down and think about killing myself. It just floats into my head, and like the sniffles, like you just go, I'm getting sick now, I can feel it, I'm getting sick. And it's like just yeah a little thought mm-hmm that's like, hey, kill yourself. Like that kind of thing. And
over
it's not
a sniffle?
That. Like, no. Like, it feels like the sniffles yeah of depression. It's just
gotcha
a small thought. And then if you let that thought simmer and you think about that thought and you build on it, then you will get yourself into a depression. When I have those thoughts now, I go, that is a thought that is not, it's not real, and mm-hmm it's creeping in, and I'm not going to even read it or entertain
don't
it.
Give it attention.
And then I don't get depressed anymore, because your thoughts are everything. People think that their feelings determine their thoughts. Like, if I'm depressed, then my thoughts are going to be dark. It's your thoughts make you feel depressed. So your thoughts are the thing that comes
yeah
first, mm, then the feeling.
Yeah.
Your feelings.
You don't feel your thoughts.
Your thoughts, if I'm thinking, that's why positive affirmations work. That's
yeah
why just positive thinking works
yeah
to make you in a lighter mood, because your thoughts, what you're saying in your head, what you're saying to yourself will determine your mood. Your mood will not determine your thoughts. It is the other way around. So if you, and I didn't know this was like the biggest breakthrough for my depression, was this is all based on cognitive behavior therapy, which is it's all about the thoughts. Your thoughts are what are making you depressed. It's not a chemical imbalance. It's not that you're just worthless or any of the things you're telling yourself are true. You're depressed and your thoughts are making you depressed. So once you look at your thoughts, write them down, analyze each one and go, is this true? Has this always been true? Will it be true forever? No. Okay, well then you break it down. You go, well, that thought that I just assumed was true because it's in my head, I've just proven to myself it's not. And then you free yourself from it and it works.
Wow.
And you don't get depressed. And you can get, it's a book that was recommended to me by trans comedian, what is her name? Robin Tran. She's trans and her name is Robin Tran, but
ironic.
She's really depressed, as a lot of trans sexual people deal, you know, their suicide rates are off the charts, but she struggled deeply with bipolar and depression. And she told me about this book called Feeling Good by this Dr. David Burns, who is a cognitive behavioral therapist. And I read this, I've read the first three chapters of the book and I go, I get it. And I'm good. And I haven't been depressed since. Because it's, it teaches you to look at your thoughts, and then it's, you really can, you can choose to not be depressed.
Yeah.
And you just need to learn the tricks. And the book Feeling Good, I recommended it on Tiger Belly, and people have been writing to me being like, thank you so much. And so if you're listening now and you're depressed, buy this book. And I know that reading a book does not seem like something you want to do when you're depressed, but just buy it to have it around for when you're out of your depression and you feel it coming back on and you have the strength to maybe read a chapter.
What if you don't have the strength to even get to that book? I mean, like...
Then
there's other things you need to address.
Then then you need to tell a friend that will intervene and like force you to do the thing that you need to do because it's out of your hands.
Because there are people that really just feel like they have no control to right the wrong.
Yes, but let me just say that anyone who's listening that's like, you don't get it. I'm more depressed than you're describing. You were depressed. Mine's different. You're not. And you are. You might be more depressed than I was, but this book tackles every type of depression. And he often says in this book, here's an example of someone who thought that they, my depression's different, dude. Mine's different. I really am worthless. I really do have no purpose in life. No one counts on me. No one loves me. And so he gives all these extreme examples of where you're like, okay, maybe that person does think they're more depressed. Right. And even that person's able to get out of it. It really does work. It's called Feeling Good. Dr. David Burns, buy it for any depressed person in your life. Mm. It really saved me. I think. I mean, every year I go, oh, meditation has saved me. Feeling Good by David Burns has saved me.
Now, how do you
easy way to stop drinking has saved me. The easy way to stop smoking and high waisted jeans.
How do you give that book to someone without seeming like you're like, hey,
we all know someone who suffers with depression. Yeah. And I think because depression gets talked about more, people are more open about telling their friends when they're depressed. But if you know someone who gets depressed and isolates, just get them this book. It's the kindest gesture you can do for someone, is getting a book that can really save their life, because it whatever you think you're dealing with, the cognitive CBT works. Like, I think its success rates are insane. Like, the percentages are really, really high.
Do you think people that post a lot of stories on Instagram that are trying to be like, look how great life is, are compensating for something, and that there's something else going on? Or do you,
all
like,
the
what's
time.
What's the ratio of like the posting that like, look how great it is, and you're like, yeah, it probably is great, and you actually are loving all that, and there's nothing really wrong. Like The Rock, like when I saw him post a picture of him like eating cookies on a fucking plane, and he was like,
I think he probably is living an honestly great
for sure
life.
Yeah,
I don't know if it gets real dark for him, and I think he would probably share it if it did, because he seems like a...
But people that aren't at that level that are posting like it's
the
shit.
Yeah, we're all trying to... I mean, I even do it. Sometimes I'll look back at my feed and I'm like, oh, look at your life. Don't you seem like you had the year... Bell of the ball. Yeah. Everything's going great for you. Because you don't share the times where you look disgusting and you feel disgusting and you feel so sad. So we're all lying.
Yeah,
we are. We're all lying on Instagram. You can't trust it.
No one's
even
life
people
is that,
that
good.
Go, this is the honest.
Tom on MySpace.
Honest gram. Or they'll like post a picture where they have no makeup, and it's like, you still picked the angle where you look the best. Everything, no matter how vulnerable you think someone's being and how like my cellulite, well, I bet something else on them looks great.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I just don't trust any of it.
Yeah.
Boy, it's tough.
But I am susceptible to all of it. Like, I hate the way I look so often because of things that tell me I should hate the way I look, and I'm so tired of it. But it's hard to overcome.
Yeah. That's so sad that, like, we know it's bad, we know what it's doing, but yet we still can't stop.
It's
the monster energy drink of life.
Well, it's just, and being in Hollywood as a woman aging, or as anyone aging, I was so happy the other day. My friend and I were driving down Sunset yesterday, and we were talking about, oh, I need to have this done and this, and I just want like a laser to burn it off. We're just like talking about all our insecurities. And then I go, look at that. Look at that. There's three billboards in a row. The billboards were for Ozark. Laura Linney's on there and looks like her age.
Yes.
And is an aging woman on a huge billboard.
Yes.
Then it was Grace and Frankie.
Yes.
Yep.
Those two old bitches looking better than ever. Yeah. But old as fuck. Yeah. I mean, those are the oldest women working.
Jane Fonda is 80.
They're old. Yeah.
Wow.
And then it was House of Cards. What's her name? Robin Wright Penn. Yep. Robin Wright. Another older lady. She's in her 50s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looking foxy. It doesn't matter what she looks like. But old women are working. And I was like, we don't need... If you're talented enough and you... We don't need to look a certain way because these women have certainly they're beautiful women who have all bought into the business, but they're not young. They don't look young.
Right.
We're all trying to look young. They're not fooling anyone and they're working. And so I was like, I need to look at that kind of stuff more than Kendall Jenner. Because I ain't going that way. Kendall Jenner, I'm
she's not a real person.
No. She won the genetic lottery and she has thousands of dollars to go spend on her face.
She will never read an article that says Kendall Jenner helps contribute to cancer cure or anything.
She could, though. She's probably generating some kind of special stem cell that we're not.
Well, we don't have any access to.
She's so beautiful.
She's trying to keep herself young to where
she's not real.
Someone will like accidentally.
I'm a huge fan of these alien women who are just not human. I am so grateful for Emily Ratajkowski. I love her.
And they all went to Fyre Festival.
Hailey Baldwin. Oh my God. I love supermodels. And that's my problem is I love supermodels. Yeah. We got to promote that. Do you know it's airing soon?
Yes.
It's airing this month.
Finally.
Yeah. So the
long-awaited drop the mic.
Rap battle between Nikki. If you ever thought, you know what? I want to know what two white people from white suburban neighborhoods sound like rapping.
Oh my God.
Then
it
tune
was nice.
In.
I have a feeling you both crushed it.
We did. We did. We worked hard on it.
We
had
really
a day
did.
To prepare and we practiced in the parking lot. Yeah. I mean, we both worked hard.
Yeah. Parking lot practice. Is there rap influences that you guys pulled on to kind of like get your style off of, or do you, because you know, hearing yourself rap for the first time,
it's embarrassing.
With an audience,
it's
you're like,
humiliating.
It's just like performing on a stage for the first time, or doing anything new performing wise. You're like, oh, this new thing comes out of me that you're like, oh, I guess this is how I'm compensating for like the audience and the lights, but like, did you feel natural as a rapper?
No, I did. Of course not. I do things that make me feel uncomfortable. I did. Yeah. I did American Ninja Warrior. American Ninja Warrior.
Saw that.
I did drop the mic because it was a rap battle show. Because I told my agents about a month before Ninja Warrior asked me to do it. I was like, kind of had I just realized that the key to making it in this business is just say yes, do everything. Get your face out there. Have people seeing your face and want to see your face. Do whatever. And so I told my agents, I'm like, I'll do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to Joan Rivers it. Joan Rivers never said no. And I love that about her. She did everything. And I think you have to, I'm not Joan Riversing because I would die of exhaustion. I don't know how she did it. But
probably a couple surgeries she could have stayed away from. But
that's true. She could have said no to a couple.
Yeah.
But also maybe not. That's also what made her happy.
She couldn't help it. Free will. There's nothing. There's no free will. She couldn't choose but to die that way and to live that way. That's her.
Yeah.
But what was I saying? I was like, yes. So then these offers came in and I was like, no, I have to do it. I already, I'm going to do it because this is a ridiculous thing to do. And then I get asked to do Dancing with the Stars and I'm like, yeah, I've rapped on TV already. Like I cannot do any more humiliating things on TV. I've done them all. It is so humiliating, but like we did it. It was, I was like,
did a battle
what
rap
am
thing.
I doing?
And I still have the robe.
You do?
Yeah.
That's
what
great.
Does that mean?
Oh, because
you rap in a robe.
You know, where you're just like,
oh yeah.
It's like a boxing
but
robe.
But I love rap.
And
so
LL Cool J? No.
No, Method Man.
Method Man.
And Hailey Baldwin.
And by the way, so one of the coolest moments of my career, Method Man goes, dude, loved your Showtime special. And I was like, what the fuck?
That is awesome.
Method Man.
Isn't that cool when like you
Wu-Tang!
Find out someone that you.
Wu-Tang!
Yeah. That's one of the coolest things about being,
that's incredible.
Like, having celebrities, other celebrities that you're like, you know who I am?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Did you parlay that into a friendship? Did you be like, what are you doing tomorrow?
Listen.
Did you try?
Listen.
You have to. He opened the door.
We're going cruising for bitches.
Hilarious.
We hang out and we throw dice on the weekends.
Yeah. No.
Who won?
No, I wish.
Oh, well, you can't tell.
I know. I didn't think you would, but was it a fair? Was it like a?
I think that
it was. Oh, it
you
was.
Will be happy.
What you thought? Did you think the other person was going to bring what they brought?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we both brought it. That's the thing. It's like whoever won, the other person could have easily won, and gotcha. Everyone would have been like, that was fair too. Great. Like it was a draw.
What's the audience vibe like? Price is Right, Oprah
style?
They
were good. They were fun.
They were amped.
They were amped. It was like a cool production. It was a fun day, but it was wild.
I mean, and we like I don't know how you felt, but I felt really insecure because they were just like, all right, well, the rap battle before you was the guy from One Direction and Rob Gronkowski. I'm like, well, who the fuck cares about us?
Yeah, it was it, and that's why we got shelved until
until now.
Two and a half.
Yeah, you guys, we shot
the
show
later.
5 years ago.
We shot it in October
was.
Of 2017.
I didn't have a beard. No, yeah. No, I did.
But it was yeah, we was, were different people then, but yeah. I'm glad it's gonna air pretty soon.
I wasn't married.
That's nuts.
when we recorded that show.
Oh my god, neither was I.
And now you've been married 3 times.
Still not.
Still waiting on that, fellas.
You're the best. Thanks
I
for
could
doing
be here
this.
All day. I'm know, sad you, it's ending.
I know. We'll come back anytime. Literally, anytime you're in town, hit me up. I'm serious.
I don't, people say that. I love when they go anytime and I go now. And they're like, okay.
No, but I mean that.
All right,
I don't.
We'll shut this
I don't
off,
lip service
it again.
Thank you for saying
I mean
that.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
being here. This you guys
think
are
about
awesome.
Well, look how active I've been when you're like I'm here and then we figure it out.
No, we
and then
always
it does,
figure it out.
And then we figure it out.
Yeah, we figure it out.
You know.
This is great.
You're the best.
You guys are. This is so fun.
You're on tour a bunch, so go
yes,
see you.
Yes, I'm every single weekend for the rest of my life, honestly.
Can we get your tour dates at monsterenergy.com?
Yeah. They're sponsoring my next tour. They really should.
They fucking should.
Monster Energy.
Oh, Nikki Glaser, the Monster. All right, we gotta go make some t-shirts.
If anyone knows anyone that does Monster Energy PR, I will do. I'm gonna write a whole bit about Monster and how I love it.
Yes.
Seriously, contact me.
This is gonna be the Fire Festival of comedy tours.
Oh
I mean,
God.
Wait, no.
How hilarious!
What's the last thing they sponsored?
Probably a motocross type event.
Sure,
comedy. I feel like they should be in
a date
comedy.
Rape. Sorry, guys, I don't mean that. They sponsored this date rape. Brought to you.
They go, we were so close. God, but you were so right about what our drink does. No.
Harvey Weinstein comes out wearing a Monster jersey.
Oh, no, we'll find a way.
They will never sponsor this podcast.
There's got to be someone who knows someone who works in Monster PR.
All right, we'll work on that.
Thank you.
But go see Nikki live. She's the best. And you up is every week.
Every day. If you have Sirius XM or in a rental car at any point, check out my show.
You're big in Hertz.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a big way people consume me is renting a car, and then they get hooked. Because the thing about Sirius is like it's cheaper than you think it'd be. Everyone goes, I'm not going to get a subscription. I do have a podcast called the U Up Podcast, which samples the best clips from the week, but they're very short, and it's there's a lot more show going on Sirius
on
Channel
interview.
95, and Sirius is awesome. Even if my show didn't exist, I pay for Sirius. I love it.
It's the best.
Howard Stern and like new music you discover. There's channels for any kind of music. They're not even paying me to say that. They're not paying me enough to even give this promo. But
you were pimping
I just,
out the Dave Matthews Band channel when they were, and I was
the voice of DMV Radio.
I love
Radio.
Them, so that was
voice me DMV. Too. I fought for that so hard.
You know, I'm friends
you're
with the sax
to,
player.
Really?
Yeah.
The sax player? Okay,
Jeff
good.
Coffin.
That's the. Oh,
yeah. Who replaced Leroy Moore when he passed away?
Yeah, when he passed away.
Jeff was in Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
Oh, Bela Fleck used to open for them all the time back in the early aughts.
You did?
No, Bela Fleck used to open for Dave.
Yes.
That's how I know Bela
Fleck.
That's
how they, yeah, and that's
and
how
what
they
was the other band? Government Mule would
Government
always be
Mule.
Opening for them, too.
Sorry, I just figured we'd go on the Dave song.
It's one of my
now.
Favorite songs.
What is this? Oh, okay. This is one of your favorite songs. What's your favorite
off
Dave
this
song?
Album? Favorite song ever that got me into the band was probably Ants Marching, just because it was playing on the radio so much.
Yeah.
But now,
if you had to listen to one song, him play it acoustically right here in your living room,
Lie in Our Graves.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or God, there's too many. Or what is it? It's off Before These Crowded Streets.
Crush.
Yes.
It's the best. It's the fucking best.
So good.
Crush is the greatest song.
That was voted best song to get finger to.
I believe it.
That was my dream as a child.
For guys and girls.
As a young girl.
If I'm going to have a gay experience, let's do that to that
song. Or Say Goodbye. I mean, I have so
that
many
might
fantasies.
Be it.
Oh, that song. Jesus.
I've been emailing back and forth with his publicist for about a year.
To get him on here?
Yeah, because...
I mean,
just
would
some,
you lose your mind?
I'd freak out. My buddy, one of my best friends from Seattle, mixed, yeah, mixed his this album for Big Whiskey.
Ah.
And so became tight with them, and then he put me in touch, and then my friend's band, The Head and the Heart, opened for them for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of ties to even make the publicist be like, oh yeah, cool, like he, like this is, but now it's just like, and then they keep going on tour, and then when he's not on tour, she's like, he's chilling. I'm like, I will fly up to Seattle, and then she's like, cool, because that's probably where it had to be. Just gotta stay active, you know?
Yeah, you gotta just.
I'm also trying to get Mike Pence, and that feels like real.
How long you been? What's your favorite hit
Dave?
Of his?
Oh, I thought you asked Pence what his favorite Dave Matthews song is.
My favorite Mike Pence hit is Conversion.
Oh, yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Have you ever spent $150 on a bottle of cologne? Then you get home, you sprayed it on, and immediately you think to yourself, wow, I smell like a mistake. Yeah, me too. It's painful. That's why I love micro perfumes. They let you try luxury scents without committing to a full bottle or throwing cash down the drain. I'm talking Dior, Tom Ford, Creed, the real deal for just a few bucks. Here's the fun part. You get pocket-sized vials so you can test drive your scent before you buy. That's what we all want. Test drive before you buy. Your fragrance, like your first handshake, it says a lot before you even open your mouth. You want something bold, classic, nostalgic? Micro perfumes make it easy to find your vibe. I've tested a few myself and I've discovered some scents that I wouldn't have guessed that I would have loved. But you know what? It rules. The shipping's fast. I can even keep a couple in my bag for travel or nights out. Maybe in the car, my pocket, wherever. Sometimes you just need to smell like a million bucks, and you don't want to have a big-ass bottle in your purse or your fanny pack. No knockoffs, no guessing, just real designer fragrances ready when you are. Honestly, it's the smartest way to avoid that $200 bottle disaster. That was my nickname in middle school. So why commit blind to a $200 bottle? Find your scent soulmate today and get up to 60% off at microperfumes.com/ALN. Just for my listeners, that's microperfumes.com/ALN. For up to 60% off. Microperfumes.com/ALN. Real sense, no regrets. Right, Johnny Depp?
That's right, Adam.
Thanks, Johnny.
As a raider scavenging a derelict world, you settle into an underground settlement. But now, you must return to the surface, where arc machines roam. If you're brave enough, who knows what you might find? Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game. Buy now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. PEGI 16.